Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health. So apparently we're still doing Christmas. Every day I wake up and I'm kind of just hoping that someone's cancelled it. But no, it's coming. And one thing I'm sure of at this point is that my executive function skills do not have enough reserves or capacity to deal with the amount of tasks that we have in December. Last week I said that I didn't think that any of us ADHD mums were qualified for this. And I stand by that. But this week I've realized that we don't need qualifications, but what we do need is good support. And that has been all of you. Putting together the festive fuck it list and having an actual plan to follow for Christmas is actually been really great. If you'd like to know more about the festive fuck it plan, jump into my show notes. It's listed there on my website. If you are starting to feel quite stressed and overwhelmed at me even saying Christmas, I get it. Me too. But together we can do it. Hang on for the ride. We've got this covered. Now, two messages landed in my inbox this week. Two listener questions. I couldn't decide which one to do, so I went with both. If you would like to contribute to the listener questions, jump into the show notes. There is a link there for the form that you can fill out to do the listener questions. The first listener wrote in anonymously and said, how does anyone in an 100% neurodiverse household have the ability to work full-time, parent full-time, and still have the energy to eat well, exercise? Every day is an absolute punish. And I don't know how I even manage to get through to tomorrow. When I think about December and Christmas and the amount of overwhelm and tasks that I have to do, I just think I'm going to implode. Then another mum wrote, I want to enjoy this Christmas so badly, it eats me alive that I don't understand why this is so hard for me. I know why, but I don't. The noise, the constant wanting, the bubbling of rage, the noise, the constant wanting really equals for me like bubbling rage inside me because I know that my kids are just being kids, but I cannot handle it. I'm scared my kids are going to remember me as this raging mother when that's not who I am. I love my kids so much, but the overstimulation makes me feel crazy. Those two listener questions, crackers. And kind of similar and along the theme of this episode. So two mums, same pain. So one mum is in survival mode. She cannot fit anything else in. She's exhausted, burnt out and stressed. And that's just in the normal school year. She's looking into December and the things that need to happen. And she's like, I do not have capacity. I am already in complete burnout. The other one, I think, is more grieving the version of herself that she thought that she would be. That's my take on her. I only get a very small snapshot. If you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not trying to get the best Christmas I can get. I'm more trying to stay alive, stay upright, smile a few times a day. Like I'm just trying to get through. If you are coming into the end of November, moving into December, and you are overloaded, burnt out, and you have had enough. If you are an ADHD mum who feels overloaded now, it's been a long year. And what a lot of people don't understand is it's been a long year for all of us. It is term four at this point. Your kids are exhausted. We're exhausted. Well, we're always exhausted because when I talk about it being the end of the school year, we're all exhausted. Yeah, but the Christmas and the new year isn't really much of a break, is it? So when is the break coming? My God, I can't even go into that. But basically, we're already burnt out, right? It's not like we're going in fresh. We are going into December, which is kind of more of a marathon than a sprint. As somebody who's already done a marathon and you're at the end and you've already exhausted. Whereas in a lot of neurotypicals come in a bit more fresh, right? And that's just a reflection of how much more parenting we need to do, the level of executive function that we have, and a reflection of our lives and how it works and how our brain works. So if you are overloaded and burnt out, a lot of us are, and you are not alone. Now, have you ever had one of those moments where something happens, it's not major, but you just all of a sudden just cannot cope? For example, maybe one of your kids or someone drops something. It's an accident. The sound of it like vibrates through your spine. Or maybe one of your kids laugh, but it's like that high-pitched all of a sudden laugh. I talked to a psychologist recently and he was saying that a lot of the time the short, sharp, high-pitched sounds that are irregular are the ones that are the most sensory overloading for some people. My daughter has one of these laughs and every now and again she bursts out this like high pitch, like it aggravates me like no end. And yes, she's going to do that more around Christmas because she's going to be laughing and around me more. Then I feel so guilty. How dare I be so affected by my child laughing? Don't you feel awful? But it's like that overload on that high pitch all of a sudden for me, sensory noise, loud noises is so difficult for me. Like I just feel like rage. I just want her to be quiet. And it could be any example for you. It could be crowds. It could be all of the tasks. It could be the TV going. It could be the lights. It could be new foods. It could be set. It could be anything, right? It could just be cumulative load, PMS, whatever it is. But it might be a moment that you think, my God, that is the moment for me. I am in complete overload. Now, in that moment, if you actually pull back and do something different, so in those moments when my daughter laughs like that, one, I just want to stop her from doing it. It's just so aggravating, particularly if I'm in the car. And it's this constant, irregular, high-pitched sound. And I try not to let her know that it bothers me because then I feel awful. Like, your laugh makes me really, really angry. Like, that's an awful message. So I smile and nod and pretend it doesn't affect me and that it's not a big deal. Because you don't want to tell your child off for laughing. I feel awful doing that. But last year, she was doing this laugh and it went on and on and on, and I just couldn't stand it. And in that moment, I was like, I'm just going to go outside for a second because I'm actually not coping with all this noise. Instead of pretending I was completely fine with it, smiling and nodding, whilst also physically reacting to this sound that I can only say was like nails on a chalkboard, was how it felt for me. By going outside, that moment, the breath, the posture change, the words is a state reset. It's no longer smiling that tight smile where you're pretending to be fine, but you're not. You're actually naming, moving away, putting yourself first. And I like to call that a state reset. You're also teaching your nervous system that you can come back to calm after a really overloading moment or series of moments. And the neuroscience backs this up because when you shift your posture and you use language, you actually start to activate the vagus prefrontal loop, which is the system that says to your body, the threat's over, you're okay. That one physical movement, move yourself away, state your boundary, take a breath, flips the circuit breaker in your brain. Logic, empathy, perspective comes back online. Asking, grimacing, pretending to be fine, holding yourself to stay in that environment as if you're okay. It's actually proof and positive thinking that in those moments of dysregulation, you are okay. So many messages came in this week that said things like, I love my kids. I can't stand the noise. I'm trying to be grateful coming into December. I want to feel joy and I want to feel happiness, but I don't feel that. I feel like everything is a punish. That's not drama. You don't have to try harder. Last Christmas, I noticed that I got completely overloaded. I pushed myself too hard. I was time blind, didn't realize how long all of it would take me. And then I was in a complete mess by the end of it. Pretty much a standard December for me. The house was loud in December. It was particularly loud over Christmas. There was music, talking, wrapping paper everywhere. The fridge was opening and then the alarm was going off because no one was shutting it properly. People were talking to me. My kids were talking to me. They wanted to know where this is, where's that, where's the charger, how can I get this set up, read these instructions. And I was getting interrupted in every single thought pattern and it was getting worse. I kept smiling, pretending to be fine, even though I wasn't. And I noticed that at some point during the day, my body just kind of stopped cooperating. Like, I didn't have any reserves. A simple question like, can I have a drink? Where's the cups? Like, I didn't know. I literally did not know. I felt like my chest was tight. I couldn't really feel like I could hear. And my whole body felt like it had just had enough. In this situation, I felt like I couldn't. I felt like I was having a full shutdown. I walked into the bathroom, turned off the light and sat on the floor. I wasn't crying. I wasn't angry. I just needed a minute. Like, my whole system was kind of like pulling the plug. That to me was what overstimulation looks like for me. I go into like a shutdown, or I might have like a meltdown where I feel really, really, really down and I can't handle it. One more request. One thing broken, one more noise, that's enough to set me off. I'm done. And it can be your nervous system saying, we're finished, we're done. That's your body might be calling it. And that's what happens to our kids too. In those moments though, when you actually just go like, I can't do this, and you retreat, you're actually listening to your body saying, I'm maxed out. The fact that so many of you are writing in saying, it's too much, I get overstimulated, I'm overwhelmed, it's probably your body telling you and remembering what has happened the other times. So this episode is really about recognizing what that whisper is of your body going, kind of need a break, lots of people talking, bit stressed now, needing to have a break. It's about catching it before you get to a full scream, rage, shouting, or you get to my point where I just can't respond to anybody. That's overstimulation, and that might be your body saying, hey, this is just too much. And this is what that episode is really about, because learning to recognize that and listen to your body is so important and also so hard to do, because a lot of us have been taught just to push through, to make it look effortless, to pretend we're fine, to finish strong, even when our bodies are quietly falling apart in the background. you might have had one of those childhoods where you felt like what you said was denied. You might have had one of those childhoods where, for example, I used to say all the time, that jumper's really itchy. I can't wear those socks. Those shoes don't fit. And my parents, which is just a way of the times back then, would say, it's fine. Everyone wears it. And I would just be told kind of like, well, what you feel doesn't matter. Other people are fine. So you're fine. Don't create a problem. Just go along with it. So I, and a lot of you would also have felt like in the past that you just go along with it because everyone else does. So all the other neurotypical mums do it. So why can't you? Everyone else is having fun. So why should you be in the toilet? Why should you be in the bathroom? Why should you need a minute? But what if finishing softer is actually the new strong for us? What if stopping isn't failure, but it's actually leadership, showing our kids how to prioritize ourselves, emotionally regulate, and take a minute? You can't strategize your way out of overstimulation or exhaustion. You can't think back to our regulation because you sometimes can't think. You may have to start with your body, which is where micro completion comes in. It's kind of the opposite from an emotionally dysregulating spiral. It's the moment where you take a tiny step and you say to your brain, we're going to close the loop. We need to stop and recover. And that's where the recovery comes from. So in the moment that you take to prioritize yourself, you take a moment, you bring yourself back down from the overwhelm, the dysregulation, whatever it is that you're feeling, if it's all too much, you can take a state reset. And what that is you're basically teaching your nervous system that calm is okay, that you can get back to calm and you can take small steps now. You don't have to push through, tightly smile and pretend to be fine. Step away before it's too much. You can say to your system, threat's over. By taking a moment and prioritizing yourself, taking a breath, you can actually tell your body, threat's over, you're safe, and you can start to bring yourself back down before you get all the way up and you're sitting down like I am, unable to move. This is why saying, that's enough for today, I'm finished, I'm not doing anymore, I need to take a moment to relax, I need to take a break through December. Prioritizing self-regulation is so important because you're teaching your body that you don't always have to climb the whole way up when you're overstimulated, you can come back down. This is really important for us to also teach our kids. So if you are feeling like you are overwhelmed, you're moving into burnout as we come into December, you can actually physiologically reset. You can breathe through your nose. You can put your shoulders down. And if you're in hyperactive and you're thinking, well, that's a waste of time. I just got to do more stuff because I'll be feeling calm when I get my list done. Actually, you're signaling to your parasympathetic nervous system that it's time to reset and reboot. A lot of us seem to walk around and create chaos. We don't mean to, but we do seem to live lives that have a little bit more chaos or a little bit more things happening. I don't know if you've noticed that. Sometimes when I talk to a neurotypical person, it's astounding to me how little they have going on. Whereas when I catch up with somebody, I haven't seen them for a while, I feel like I've lived a whole year. But for some of us, living those lives, creating the chaos is what our brain looks for. And so we inadvertently want to live this simple life and have things done and have it all be quiet, but we don't know how because we keep picking options unconsciously that lead us back to chaos. If in the moment that you are starting to feel overstimulated, exhausted, burnt out, overwhelmed, you actually bring yourself back down into peace just for the moment, just a micro moment, you're collecting proof that peace is possible for you. Instead of your brain just seeking chaos, finding chaos, you'll actually have a chance to find the more peaceful way, live the more simple life if you want to live that way. I'm somebody that always seems to have a lot of chaotic things happening and I don't know how and I just want to have a simple life and I keep saying after that finishes, everything will calm down, but yet something else always happens to me. My brain is kind of looking for chaos and sometimes when I don't want to tackle something that I don't want to do, I will go and create chaos. So for example, my Christmas list. Sometimes I don't mean to, but I go and create a problem that I'd prefer to solve rather than tackle the thing that I have to do. If you start to bring yourself down and find calm, you may find that your body actually starts to know peace is okay, the simple path is okay, I'm okay, and you may find it easier to stay on track without inadvertently, unconsciously creating a more chaotic way of getting to the same place. You may find that you actually have a more simple, straightforward December if you start to bring your brain back to be like, I can be peaceful. I can feel stressed and then bring myself back down. It's a muscle you're teaching yourself. Your brain is actually saying, I can rely on me. I can be at peace instead of just finding the next problems to solve. So back to the listener questions. To the mum who said every day feels like a punish or to anyone who feels that way, you're not weak but you are wired differently. You don't need to try harder. So to the two mums that wrote in, it's actually a very similar message. One mum said that every day felt like a punish. The other mum said that she wants to enjoy motherhood in December so badly, but she feels like she's full of rage. Both of you need to show your body that it's safe enough to feel joy. If you'd like to know the recipe for joy, it's actually available in one of our other podcast episodes, which is called You're Not Delusional, There's Real Joy in Parenting a Neurodivergent Child. That teaches you the recipe for happiness and joy. There is a recipe. If you feel like you're in a bit of a joy drought, which is what these two mums are both saying, you can teach your brain, you can teach your body to feel joy again. You can teach it to search it, locate it, find it. There's a recipe. Check out that episode. Joy isn't missing because you're failing. You need to do something differently. You're air quoting a bad mum. It's absolutely not that at all. But it might be because your brain has been in emergency mode for so long, you're struggling to register joy. I experienced this a lot, which is why I released the joy episode, because I was trying to figure out how could I feel more joy. For this December, for me, my goal is to flick the switch and access joy more consistently. Now, I'm not talking about being joyous all day. I think I'm one of those people that's chronically a little bit depressed, chronically a little bit glass half full. I think I'm more like that. I'm not a particularly joyous person, I don't think. So for me, I don't find joy comes to me easily. But this Christmas, I'm going to make it my goal to find more joy. If this resonates for you, make this your joy or two. One of the first ways to start this is to flip the switch in your brain and stop earlier when you're overwhelmed. That's done for today. Take a breath, find peace. Teach your body that you can find peace. If you're in a state of chaos, which I am a lot, it's hard to find joy, right? Because you're so busy chasing your tail in survival mode in chaos. But I kind of like chaos because I'm comfortable there and I get to do a lot of things and I feel like I can control a lot of things, which is the way I do anxiety. I get controlling and overly almost manic. Like I can't sleep because I've got to get all this stuff done. So that's probably a more familiar pattern for me than being present and joyous, if I'm honest. So your brain is going to default back to what's easiest. It's not going to default to what you just tell it to do. So if I go in December, I want to have more joy, but my brain is used to finding chaos. That's its easy switch. That's what it knows and likes. It's going to find that. So we have to take those moments to find the peace, find the joy, and then locate that to get more of it and to try and teach our brain not to search for chaos, because that's where you make those unconscious decisions. I don't consciously look for chaos. It just seems to find me. If you'd like to know more about this, please click on the episode about joy. It's in my show notes. And when you are going through your tasks, say, that's done for today. Find the peace in the moment. You are not here just to perform Christmas as Santa Claus. You're not a slave. You're here to actually find a moment of joy, a moment of happiness within Christmas this year. We're not here to just serve other people to give them the Christmas, because we aren't Santa. That's not our role. So instead of chasing calm around, you can actually choose it. So when December hits and you feel yourself slipping into overdrive or procrastination, or you're sitting on the couch scrolling, or you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, maybe you're tempted to go find another problem because you don't want to deal with the one you've got. Your job isn't to do more things. Your job isn't to get the task done. It's to finish softer. Your job isn't to finish stronger. Maybe your goal is to reset back to what you want. I want to find more joy this December. Maybe you want to find peace or happiness or relaxation, or maybe you want to be more social and more connected. It's not about doing more for other people. It's about deciding to do less for yourself. So stand up right now, roll your shoulders back, take a breath through your nose and start now and say to yourself, I've got this, but I'm done for today. I choose. And then insert your goal. The moment that you do that, the breath, the words, your nervous system, your brain is actually updating its status. Your vagus nerve says to your brain, we're safe now. That's not quitting or doing less or being the Christmas Grinch. That's leadership from the outside in. And that's the finish line. That is the finish line that we're looking for. Not Christmas Day when you're overwhelmed, stressed out, burnt out. The finish line is alive into Christmas with the goal that you set for yourself intact. It's not the day that it's all done, or the day that it all ends, or the day that you wake up and your tasks are finished, if they ever are, or when it's midnight Christmas Eve and you're still wrapping presents. The day that you decide that you've done enough and you decide that you are going to put yourself first. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, please go back and check out the episode on joy, but also go and check out the festive fuck it list, which is all about your Christmas vision. Who are you doing Christmas for? We're not just task dumping for extended family for what's important to them. We are prioritizing ourselves. It's our Christmas too. We are not Santa that's going around to make everyone else's wishes come true. We're people too. We matter. Post into the Facebook group if you're killing it, you know your goal, and you are taking some steps forward. Inspire others. If you are struggling and you feel like you are nowhere, maybe post into the Facebook group. You're welcome to do it anonymously, and other people can help you get started. Thank you so much for listening. Let's do December differently this time. Quick announcement. Did you know that we have an ADHD Mums shop filled with resources designed just for you? These resources are packed with answers to the most frequently asked questions I get sent in via email. Everything from understanding ADHD and autism to practical tips for daily life. There's also a free assessment tool. If you're wondering about ADHD or autism for yourself or your little one, don't forget to check out the free assessment tool under free resources section on my website, adhdmums.com.au.